Hi guys, I'm Joyce Herr. Just want to share you my story on how God has made such a big difference in my life and why I choose to follow him. And I'm here with Twisted Youngins.
What's up, guys? Thank you for tuning to Twisted Youngins, the most unorthodox show on the globe. As always, we hope everyone is staying blessed, staying safe, staying out of the way. Jesus is Lord. And if you aren't saved, now is the perfect time to get saved and get in the Word of God. Our life is not promised, and it's time that we be transformed. We're here with another testimony today. We're excited about it. And I am one of your hosts, Myra B. King.
And this is Desi Dez. And today we have a special guest. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Joyce Herr. I live in Michigan now, originally from North Carolina. And I'm just a human being just like yourself. Gone through ups and downs, face sin every day. But we got to fight the good fight.
Amen. Joyce, how was it growing up in Carolina for you?
Well, I moved here in Michigan in like 2012, one of the worst winters ever. But before that, just being in North Carolina, it was chill. You know, I feel like I make the most out of everywhere I'm at. I actually grew up on a farm. So there was like 64 acres of land. And with chicken coops, we worked for Tyson for like 16 years. And after we paid all that off, we still had all the land for farming and agriculture. So definitely had a lot available to me. Didn't need to go to the grocery store. And it definitely taught me work ethic, for sure. Work ethic.
Wow. So you know how to grow your own food. You know how to, if need be, you know how to survive, right?
If need be, yeah. So I don't want to go back to that life, but if I have to, okay.
Right. What all animals did you have? Was it only chickens?
Well, the chickens were there, but my grandma, since we had a big field, the cow field, my grandma bought cattle. And then my grandpa had gave me a male and a female goat. And so I had like little goats running around. And I was just like animal calling, all these things coming to me. It was like a Disney movie almost.
Like
a lot of adventure.
Like Dr. Doolittle.
I guess so. Yeah, I would moo at the cows. Cow would come to me, meh at the goats. Wow. And even now, like now that I'm married, I would like just do the goat noise, and I would just shock my nieces and nephews. They'd be like, "What?" So it's funny, but yeah, that's my history, where I came from.
Did you have any siblings or anything?
Yeah, I do. So I'm the youngest out of five. And also in regards to family, my parents, they did split after like 23 years, long story short. It wasn't a marriage out of love. It was one where my mom was seeking approval from her father. And her father had said, if you don't marry this guy, then I won't consider you my daughter. So yeah, long story short, she had us five. But the beautiful thing is God's still good, even though the marriage wasn't, you know, built in a foundation of love. So long story short, my mom got remarried after praying to God, because of course, you know, divorce is not what you would like to do, but it came to a point because of the marriage going, you know, sin coming in and abuse and everything like that. My mom had prayed and said, God, if there is someone that you give me the opportunity to marry again, let this be a guy whom his kids like need a mother. You know, the mother had left the home and they need, you know, a loving mother to come in and love not only the kids, but also the husband or, you know, the father. And that's exactly what she got. Yeah. And so they met in like 3 days and got married, because my mom would go on the radio and she would just like give the word of God. And his sister had heard her and said, oh, you should go talk to this girl or this lady. And so he drove from Michigan all the way to North Carolina. And it was actually revealed to her in a dream, my mom in a dream, that this is the guy. And so, yeah, it was just kind of God ordained. And they've been married since.
Did you grow up in the church?
So my mom is the rock of the family. So yes, I did grow up in, you know, Baptist churches, Vacation Bible School, all that list that you can say. My dad wasn't, however, he never forced us to do like so the Asian that I am is Hmong, and the typical religious faith that they do or practice they do is shamanism, which isn't faith. But anyways, I was never part of that, although I always saw that from a distance because my dad's side of the family was still deeply into that. Even some parts of my mom's family was, but I was never forced into any of like the rituals, the altars, any of that stuff. But yeah, I did grow up more so hearing my mom lead devotions in the morning, singing super loud in the morning while I was trying to sleep. but fast forward, I mean, I see why she was so loud and why her heart was so passionate, despite everything she's gone through. So yeah. I definitely went through to Sunday school, Vacation Bible School for the longest time. I was actually 5 years old when I gave my life to Christ as a kid, but I actually never knew that until I was 16 years old. My oldest sister had pulled me to a side and she was kind of just like disappointed in my character. I don't know what character I had, but something of my character was disappointing her. And she had said to me, you know, the only reason why I came to become a Christian was because of you, and which led to when I was 5 years old. Apparently, it had gone to my mom as she was doing devotion and asked her, who are you talking to? And she said, Jesus. And she said, and I asked her, where is Jesus? And she told me, Jesus is in my heart. And then at that moment, I said, well, I want Jesus in my heart, too. And when I said the prayer at that time at 5 years old, I had ran to my siblings in the living room and said, like, guess what? I got Jesus in my heart. And then they got jealous and end up going to my sibling and going to my mom, I mean, and said, is it true that Joyce has Jesus in her heart? If that's so, we want Jesus in her heart too. So I never knew that until I was 16. And because of that moment, it's a very pivotal moment in my life as my Christian walk as well, because I just noticed when my sister, you know, pulled me aside and really emphasized that to me, it just showed me as a Christian, like, if we do claim Christ, like, we are to imitate him, because if we don't imitate him well, then, you know, people are gonna not know who is this Jesus and, you know, how we are to live, right? Based off of, like, or worship to him. Yeah, so
you can give Christ a bad name, you know, by the things you do, because you're saying you're a Christian. When you say that, people watch you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we are going to Bible, you know, meant to live, to be a living sacrifice. And so, yeah, that's one of the very pivotal moments of my life. And after going to church, just like for years, every single Sunday, Vacation Bible School, remember all the songs. it wasn't until I was 18 was when I decided to rededicate my life to Christ, because I feel that, yeah, maybe when I was a kid, I knew what I was doing as a child, right? Having that childlike faith. But then I know as our faith in general, it's our own choice. It's not what we piggyback off of our parents, or, you know, whether they were pastors or whatever, you know, position in the church, or how passionate they were, you know, and just honoring God. It comes down to us, like, making the turn in our hearts, you know, by grace through faith alone, right? And trusting Jesus. And so I had gone to my mom when I was 18 years old in her bedroom. I asked her to just, like, lead me to rededicate my life to Christ. And then once I did, you know, tears just overflow, because the Holy Spirit is just, like, you know, so real, you know, comes into your heart and just really shows you that, yes, you don't deserve it. You didn't merit it, but, you know, Jesus loves you. So, woo.
Amen. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. 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 So,
and did you deny mm-hmm. yourself until you had a husband?
Okay. A transparency. So one thing I feel, to clarify, my husband now, we did actually have sex outside of marriage many times, and it broke my heart many times. And honestly, I feel that because sex, you know, in regards to the context that God made it in, was never really told and taught in the church, right? The holiness, the beauty of it. And because of not being trained up in that way, we didn't really have much wisdom to really, you know, go off of. So instead of, like, you know, choosing to be obedient, yes, I failed to guard my heart, and oof, it hurts. It got to a point, really, you guys, where committing sex outside of marriage so many times, even though sex is beautiful, it's not beautiful outside of marriage, let me tell you that. It breaks your heart every single time. I remember with my husband now, it's only because of the restoration and the, you know, redemption of just the and healing and everything that God's done in our lives, that we can still come in union and let it still be beautiful and holy and still so, like, honoring to God. And experience just the beauty of sex too, because it's beautiful between a husband and wife. But yeah, it got to a point in our relationship when I was just like, you know what? What if it comes to a point in time where we do come together, but I don't want you anymore because of all the shame and guilt and condemnation, you know, just stacked on top of all the, whether it's drunkenness nights, a lot of the sex outside of marriage nights or whatnot. And yeah, I just got to a point where I was just like, no, I'm done. And so I really decided to let go and let God. After struggling in a relationship that wasn't glorifying God for 7 years, you know, us women, we try to, like, make things work because we invest time and our emotions are there. And the thing about me and my husband, though, we both knew Jesus and we both love Jesus. But it's just the fact that even if you say that, your heart can still be led astray if you're not renewing your mind daily in the Word and letting it transform you, rather than just being like reasoning with sin, being like, oh, God will forgive me. Yeah, he will, but why you want to put yourself through that? And so, like, now me and my husband and another guy, he's a single adult, we lead the ministry at our church. It's the young married couples as well as single adults, anyone 18 to like 40 plus. And everyone I come across, whether they're my age, younger, you know, trying to figure themselves out or starting to date, I tell them, don't follow your heart. You know, your heart is deceitful. I mean, everything is written in the scripture. You just got to read it. But for those who don't know God, I try to tell them as much as I can to break it down, because I know when it comes to those who don't understand the faith and the discernment and revelation, we got to break it down in a way that they can slowly grasp it, and then just plant those seeds for them to, you know, start to open up their heart to be like, hey, let me seek this wisdom. Because I always tell people, like, my experiences, but I tell them at the end of the day, I can tell you my experience, where I fall short and the decisions I made and the wisdom that may be in it. But I want you to, like, give that to God and pray about it and actually ask him, what is it of my story that you should take away? And what is it that you shouldn't take away? Because I feel like you can still lean on your own understanding as a Christian, because, like, you can still have, like, you know, a certain knowledge of the Bible, but if that's all you go off of all the 20, 30 years of your life, then you miss all the revelation, and then you're not maturing as well. Of course, we will never reach a point of maturity that we're, like, perfect, because that's not possible, only Jesus. But it's a point of, like, letting God in all areas of our life, yeah, whether it's relationship, career, you know.
Yeah, that's why the Bible says it's better to marry to burn. And God gave me grace as well. You know, I was with my girlfriend before I got married to her, but, you know, I had prayed to the Lord and, like, you know, show me anything that I'm doing wrong. And, you know, that's when I first became a believer. You know, I prayed to the Lord to show me anything I'm doing wrong. And I had a dream. You know, I was laying on the bed, and then an old lady, now is a demon, came and sat on the bed. And I was watching, you know, sat on the bed and looked back at me, and I had boxers on. My, you know, stuff started to rise up, and I rose off the bed. And basically, the dream was just saying that the devil still had control over me, like Magneto controlled Wolverine, you know. So I had to get rid of that sin. You know, I woke up from that dream. I told my wife, you know, we got to get married today. You know, I use certain scriptures, like, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Almighty God. So I was like, man, even though we didn't get married today, God gave me grace to, like, you know, like, at least 2 months later, my mother's like, we got to you know, we can't just go to the courthouse. We want to do a traditional church, I mean, traditional, you know, marriage. So you know, God gave me grace to do that. But yeah, because I knew that if I was to die before we get married, you know, I was going to hell. You know, I don't want to come to God with, you know, no excuse. We can't have excuses. So it's a blessing that you do that. You tell people your testimony. You're not trying to be perfect, you know, with your, you and your husband. You ain't perfect. Look, I was doing what I was doing, because people can learn from that, because they're probably doing what they're doing. You know, they probably, you know, at least you was with one person and you had the goals to get married. Now it's up to God to give you the grace. Now you're supposed to deny yourself just like I was, but with another person, like, look, what you can give them, look, I got to give you scripture. You're supposed to deny yourself. You don't supposed to live in fornication, and especially you're bringing different partners to church. You know, you messing with different partners, because they supposed to at least be honest. You know, the honesty can get you further. You know, iron sharpens iron. If I'm coming and I'm a new Christian, and I'm telling, if I'm being honest with you, you're able to sort through the sin, show me to do what this is good, but this is not. You know, you gotta deny this. You gotta get out. You gotta get hurt. Let me show you the scripture. So it's a blessing to find couples that are able to do those type of ministries to, especially new believers.
We need more of that in the church. You know what I mean? Within, because it's not a lot of, again, I always say this, I haven't been to all churches, but just to provide that extra edification, you know, outside of the sermons, like you said, you and your husband and, you know, the third gentleman basically minister to individuals that are coming up so they can know, do not live in fornication. I wish I had that, because, excuse me, I was in a situation where I was in fornication and church hop, you know, going to go look for churches. You know what I mean? Yeah. I accepted money from someone that I knew for it, you know, just to do it. And I'm like, wow. But at that, and at that time, I wasn't saved. I wasn't in the Bible. But even if there had been like a ministry couple there, a married, goes, hey, you're not supposed to live in fornication. You're not supposed to do this. And I know I'm supposed to read the scripture for myself. But if the church was actually, you know, like that, like what you need to be equipped to deal with sin that you go through, I feel like a lot of us Christians will be better prepared, because the pastor can't, they don't give you everything. Sometimes they'll give you one scripture. It'll be motivational. It may be prosperity, or depending on what church you go to. But it's not enough just to, you know, the church isn't boot camp. I feel like the church should be the boot camp. The church needs you to get prepared. If we're going to war, get me prepared for war. Give me the gun I need, the helmet I need. You know, let me know how we can win this war. So, but yeah, so thank you for sharing that. And so,
yeah, and just to like bring something into that too, that when you were just talking about that, honestly, like my mom, she tried to shelter me a lot. And you know how in school they have the sex education? I don't know, it's different for everybody, but she would always like sign me out of that. And one time, like, I sneaked in and they were actually going over like diseases and things like that that you had to be aware of. You know, like it was more so like caution. And when I had found out about that and actually went to my mom and talked to my mom, I had found out like all the other like sexual like diseases that she actually had, you know, came across because of my, you know, father, unfortunately, like having sex with other women and stuff like that, a sin, right? And I was just like, Mom, this stuff is so important to know. But like you were saying, like in regards to all these topics, whether it's sex, lust, or it could be anything, like it comes back to that verse where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, so when he grows old, he won't depart from it. And it's like, because we didn't have that training, we just soaked in whatever was thrown in at us, right? Even when it comes to the music, oh my gosh, don't get me started with that.
Oh man.
It was just like, man, all these songs were like bangers, and we were in the places, the wrong places, because of just the music that we liked or the activities that we liked. Because one thing about me is I love dancing. And it's funny, long story short, the first type of dancing I got into was crumping, and I didn't even know I was crumping. So anyways, and then because of that, like I got into the scenic environments, the clubbing scene, right? And of course that leads to the drinking and many other things, but the only thing I got into was more so the drinking. But the reason why I was in the clubs was just because of the music that I liked, whether it's like the beats or whatnot. But one summer, I had a break from college because they didn't have enough credits for me in that year to take a certain class. I had actually prayed to God, asking him to break my heart for what breaks his and make my heart for what breaks his, or make his. And ooh, he broke my heart so bad. But it's so necessary, because as one who like truly says, hey, you're a believer of Jesus and you want to follow him too, we need to know his ways and what his heart yearns for and breaks for. And when I did, connecting that back to dancing and music, was my ears and my heart and my mind, everything just really opened up to like being aware of like, oh, I was dancing to this music and it's pretty much fueling lust and pride and, you know, sexual morality and all these other things that we are not for, even though the beats are bangers. And then when I actually came across actual Christians who, they had that style, because, you know, that's just the language they speak, or, you know, the gift that God's given them, hip hop style or pop or whatever, but their context is life, right? Whether it's their testimony or just pointing to God's goodness or just exposing the lies in this world so that people can see whether they are, you know, believers or non-believers, and still just, you know, exploring this world and trying to understand it. And so that's why now I just, you know, I totally detox from all the music of this world. I know there's some music that might be like, you know, just innocent and just like happy songs, but at the end of the day, I don't want something just temporary feel. I want something that sustains me and, you know, like that I can actually encourage others with too. And so there's a lot of great music out there from a lot of great artists that have a solid heart for God and share their story. So, yeah.
Man, so you were, okay, so going to church and you realizing like, hey, we have to get married. And I believe you said you were 18. Was that the age that you, your relationship with God grew? Like you begin to know God and let God in and let him use you?
Yeah. So 18 was when I rededicate my life to Christ, and God just really opened up my eyes to the world, that everyone in the world, he sent his son to die for. And so whether they're black, white, poor, rich, whatever, it's like, God, if you give me an opportunity to just speak to this person, whether it's just acknowledging their presence or even sharing, you know, my story or even the gospel with them, you know, it's already a blessing in itself. And so he just gave me a whole nother heart. You know how it is.
Yeah. Right?
And like a heart that, a love that you just can't just come up with yourself, right? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Only with the Holy Spirit you can bear these fruit. I mean, people can, you know, try to give a form of love, a form of forgiveness, but at the end of the day, only the Holy Spirit can bear that through us.
Have you came across some, like a person you was trying to get a gospel to, and it's just like, man, they was not receptive of it?
Mm-hmm. Lots of times. And before, just to let you know, like before I like really did it, rededicate my life to Christ, and I grew up with all the, you know, the Christian morals and values and everything like that, I was still very, very judgmental. And so, like, there'd be times where I was, like, just really, like, not showing any grace, even though I was speaking truth. And when I had actually asked God to break my heart for what breaks his, he showed me that, oh, you know, this is the reason why people go to certain things, whether it's drinking or sleeping around or just whatever to fill a void, is because they're broken inside. And so it just like God just gave me a whole another heart and another lens to look through, to see people in the fact that they're just hurting and they want some type of outlet. And so it's just to like love people. One thing I've been saying lately to whether they're the people that I lead within the ministries or just other brothers and sisters in Christ, is like, we really got to live and love like Jesus so people can taste and see that the Lord is good. But if we don't, then they're never going to know. Because, I mean, we already know that the God of this world, which is the lower G, Satan, has blinded those who don't believe. So no matter how much scripture we throw at them that we see, because the Holy Spirit has already revealed to us, they won't see it. So we have to just let the fruit show.
Amen. Well, I definitely want to thank you for opening up. Is there a, what would you say to an individual because I feel like everyone can relate, especially, you know, with sexual sin, having sex before marriage and still being in the church and, you know, not reading the word and not fully aware of what they, you know, should be doing to be obedient in the Lord's eyes. But even besides that, not just sexual sin, if it was someone that, you know, that's listening right now and hearing your testimony, what would you say to them just to, for their eyes to open, just to try to get them saved or just to try, you know, not to backslide?
I would say God's grace is sufficient. And referencing to scripture where it says, for God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but to save the world. And from my story in regards to the countless years of sex outside of marriage and going through all that shame and guilt, to really know that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. So there really is no shame, guilt, nor condemnation once you really confess that all to Christ. If you are still listening to the voice of guilt and shame, that's only coming from the devil. You know, so it's the only language he speaks is lies. Mm-hmm. And so if God's truth is truth, then grab onto it.
God don't love you. You remember you was smoking. You was drinking, getting drunk, going to the club, just having sex outside of marriage. God don't love you. He don't forgive you. Mm-hmm. Like you say, that's the devil.
It is.
Amen.
It so is, because like, I feel like the devil has definitely stepped into the church by putting all these ideologies or stereotypes, and we have like blindly adopted them. Of like saying, oh, church people should be like this, they should look like this. I'm like, where in the Bible does it say that? You know, and if we know, like, hey, we are all sinners in need of a savior, and if you go into the word too, it says there is no one good, not even one. So if a Christian is claiming that they're good, apparently they're not reading the Bible, because it's already telling you there is no one good, not even one. Even if you're giving to the church, even if you're giving to charity, whatever you're trying to do in regards to your righteous acts, they're filthy rags without Jesus.
Yeah,
there you go. 100%. There you go. Amen.
All of sin and falling short of the glory of God. So thank you so much for allowing us to interview you. And, it's been a blessing to listen to your testimony.
And may the Lord continue to bless you spiritually, you and cover you and your family, and wish you well on your spiritual journey. And we hope, you know, that your ministry is able to, you know, open the eyes of many.
Yeah, thank you. I actually have this huge event I'm planning August 10th using dance music, reclaiming, redefining, and representing it from a perspective and expression of faith. And my hope is that we can share the gospel through a different channel, especially reaching those within the arts that have experienced church hurt because of comments such as, oh, dancing can't be used to praise God, and like throwing people to the world rather than understanding that everything we have, we can give glory to God. We just gotta dedicate it back to him.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you for sharing your testimony with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.